Hello, everybody.
Welcome back.
And Tiffany this week.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we have one of your favorites right here with us. Mm-hmm. I could make you guess, but I'm not going to be able to hear you guessing. So,
and also we probably have it written down in the about section. So you already know.
Okay, so you already know. Everything's ruined.
But hey,
I'm such a terrible podcast host.
But we're just going to get right into it because we definitely want to give this person permission to enter basically anytime she wants. So her name is Megan. You know her. You love her. At the Nutrition Addiction, right? Nutrition Addiction on Instagram. Basically my registered dietitian guru for the last like few years, even though she didn't know until recently, really. So yeah, we got her back. She's going to answer all her questions about anything you guys want to know and what we want to know about how to be healthy going into basically general health tips about going into summer, spring, travel, kids, all that good stuff. So, my first big question we'll just get right into it.
Wait, hold on. Pause.
Never mind.
I have to take a minute to give Megan the credit she deserves. Okay. Because the last time we recorded this first episode, I walked in blind. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And then since that episode, I have been following Megan on Instagram. And you guys, she is the best follow. If you want just like sassy pants, funny, but also hyper educational, this is your follow. Mm-hmm. She like drips all this information about nutrition and exercise in a way that you don't feel like you're being flooded with like, oh, do this or do this. She's not preaching at you. She's giving you stuff like the way that it should be delivered, but then also making you laugh at the same time. And honestly, I've stolen like 100 recipes from her since starting. And that says a lot because I'm like pretty educated about this stuff. So I just have to give lots of props to Megan because she is killing the social media game and then also takes nutrition and exercise for women and changing their mindset super serious. And even how I think about food in general has changed since following Megan. So there's your testimony. We can just wrap it up, call it a day now.
And then I want to say one more thing, and then Megan, I promise we'll let you speak at some point. But speaking of the
longest intro ever.
But speaking of the recipes, like one I've recently been obsessed with that I've tried like a couple months ago and I feel like I want to make it like every week now. Was that crock pot buffalo chicken dip thing. For me, I don't know what I'm doing, but it comes out a little watery every time. So I just kind of like drain it a little. And it's like a healthy buffalo chicken dip, but I don't use it as dip. I use it as, I put it on sweet potato. Ooh. Oh my God. I put cheese on it, obviously, because I'm a human being. So I put like a sweet potato, cheese, and this buffalo chicken. Oh my God.
Okay, since you have a favorite recipe, I too have a favorite recipe that I've gotten from
Megan. Megan's actually not going to talk this entire time, so we just want to see her face.
I'm just going to hang out. You guys can just keep going. This is the best intro I've ever received.
Yeah, it's the 10-minute intro brief.
It was the chia seed pudding for me, y'all.
Yeah. I still need to try that.
I don't even have words. So it's like my favorite. Literally, you just like throw some chia seeds in there and some other jazz. She'll post it. And then it's the best plant-based protein little snack that you could have.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Megan, thanks for coming.
Hey guys.
Yeah. Well, my first question, I think, do we get right into it? Cause I know you brand yourself as the vodka loving RD. So I don't know if it has anything to do with vodka, but I want to know going into summer, what is your like kind of go-to, your favorite like healthy summer drink? Alcoholic.
Well, gosh, I mean, I do love a skinny margarita. That is definitely my favorite drink of all time.
Yeah.
But I've been really into just doing vodka.
On the rocks.
Like a really good, well, I'm going to give you a little more.
Right from the bottle.
With like a really good sparkling water, like not a cheap one, but like get a fancy sparkling water.
Like Crystal Ice. Okay.
Yes. Something really good like that. Something really crisp. And then just like a little splash of whatever your favorite juice is. So like a little teeny, like a little orange juice, a little cranberry, a little pineapple. Like you need literally a speck. Like I know you're listening, so you can't see me, but I'm just doing like a little tiny bit to like give it a little bit of flavor.
Okay. Healthy cosmo.
And then yeah. And then maybe like some lemons and limes if you have it, but yeah, that's it. Super simple.
Is there a difference between the sparkling water and a club soda? Because I always do, or soda water, I guess.
No.
I do like a vodka soda.
Yeah. Well, okay. So like if you go to a bar and just order like a vodka soda, you're just gonna get like whatever's on the gun.
All right.
If you're making it yourself. Or maybe if you're
such a bartender thing to say.
It is. I'm sorry. It's a bartender.
I mean, I've been a bartender. I'm like, you only hear that from somebody else who's been a bartender.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's funny. But yeah, that's true. There is a difference though. I don't know. There's definitely a difference in flavor. Like, okay. I don't know how to describe it, but there is. It is. Okay. It's sparkling water. It's carbonated water. Okay.
Right. Right.
Like it is. It's carbonated, but.
There. Let's not overthink
varying it, degrees. Okay.
Right. Of course.
But, and I think tequila on the rocks, you can never go wrong with that. At least in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah. I feel like the same thing, right? Although tequila takes me a lot longer to feel anything from.
Really? Well, maybe you're drinking it slower because it actually tastes like.
Okay. Well, I just came back from Mexico and I basically just did shots and like.
Were you at an all-inclusive resort?
Yeah. So that's
why. They for sure water that shit down.
No, it's just they tequila, say they don't. Don Julio.
Yeah, they say they don't, but I swear it hits different at all-inclusive resorts. Like, you can have like 10 shots at an all-inclusive resort, and you're like, I don't know. They say they don't, but I think they've watered down the bottles.
All right, that's fair. Maybe it was I don't know. I was in Mexico, or maybe it was just the altitude.
It was definitely the altitude.
And so on that kind of subject, like I know when I go to the pool, I want a drink and I want a snack. So do you have any recommendations for that kind of a situation as well? I feel like nothing I ever bring is healthy when I bring them to the pool. So,
well, my number one recommendation would be to either have something before or just bring it with you. So like, you know, instead of like having lunch and then packing 500 different snacks with you. Like maybe you just bring lunch or maybe you just say, I'm going to bring some really nutrient dense snacks with me. The number one thing that you want to do is avoid just sitting there eating a ton of carbs because, okay. And carbs would be like even fruit, like just sitting there. I mean, fruit's good for you, but you know, if you're just sitting there and you're eating a huge bucket of fruit, that is still primarily carbs and sugar. And while you're drinking alcohol, your body is just going to be a little more likely to store all those excess carbs and sugar as fat. So, and then, so that's number one. And then number two is when you just continually eat carbs and sugar and you're just sitting there and you're snacking on it mindlessly, you're causing a blood sugar spike. Again, I don't care if you're having chips, pretzels, or a banana, like it doesn't really matter. You're going to have a blood sugar spike. When you have a blood sugar spike, then your blood sugar will crash eventually, you know, and this can happen within like 60 to 90 minutes. And then as it crashes, you're like, oh, I'm hungry again. And then on top of it, you're drinking. So there's like no filter as far as like, oh, well, I just ate an entire bowl of fruit. Like maybe I'm not really hungry. You're just like, oh no, like I'm
ordering pizza.
Like I need to order a pizza immediately. So
yeah.
your inhibitions kind of kick in. So what I would say would be, you know, bring along something that is, you know, richer in fat, fiber, like maybe some veggies with like a good
hummus,
like hummus,
yeah, like avocado, a hummus or like a yogurt ranch,
guacamole,
you know, almond butter packets are great for like healthy fat. I don't know if that's something that you want to necessarily be snacking on.
Listen, and that's not me at the pool this summer. I'm just me eating,
just
out
like
packets of
almond butter, those Justin's packets.
Yeah. I'm squeezing them. It's like
a packet of honey, just squeezing it in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's about to be me this summer.
That was my I'm not kidding. I leave them in my purse, maybe mostly for my child, but if I need something, you know, it does work.
Yeah,
but yeah, like the veggies and dip is a great idea. And then if you want to just, you know, bring your lunch with you, just make sure you're keeping it, you know, rich in like protein, healthy fat and fiber versus eating a whole bunch of carbs.
And we'll get into the protein, fat, healthy fiber fat after this. But I think it's really important to like circle back on what you said about eating before, because you kind of mentioned this before. And I think in the past, back in my wild days, I made it a point to make sure that I didn't eat a lot before.
Yeah. One, I didn't want to be bloated.
Right. You don't want to be bloated. You want the alcohol to hit a little bit faster. And then you also want to make sure that you're like saving up your calories. And I think that quote mindset is like where a lot of, especially women, go wrong, because that's just terrible for your hormones. And then we just have, I think, an influx of hormones that can be just set off at any given time. So we have to be especially careful with them, walking that fine line to make sure that we don't throw things off. So I think you told us in the first episode that we had, making sure that you eat before you drink. And I think that that does help a lot, whether or not you want to pitch a fit that your alcohol might hit a little bit slower. But maybe that's what you need.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you make a great point, because you tell me the last time you saved up calories all day to start drinking and then you didn't end up overeating at some point.
Eating a giant plate of nachos? Never.
It is nearly impossible, because
for sure.
Alcohol hits your frontal cortex and then you start to, your inhibition starts to lower and you're like, fuck it. Yeah. And if you're hungry, like the amount of willpower that it would take to turn that down, like we just don't have that. It's not possible. So yeah, eat something that, be aware of your body, know what makes you bloated. I totally get that. Like you'd want to go to the pool looking and feeling your best, but like don't eat a cheeseburger, maybe like have a nice salad with some chicken. Like you could do that too.
Yeah. Good point.
It's not gonna bloat you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will have to say that I only recently realized that, I mean, coming a far distance from having an unhealthy relationship with food, I only recently realized that there is no relationship with restricting without then binging. So it's a vicious cycle. If you ever restrict, there is no point that you will not binge. It's binge, and then you hate yourself for binging, and then you restrict, and then you're starving, so you binge.
Yeah.
If you're ever doing one of the two, I feel like they just feed off each other back and forth. So if nobody has ever thought about this, that withholding food when you're hungry, that then leads to a binge, just think about it. There's never been a time that you've probably withheld where you didn't then completely let go, because you can't control your body's main, foundation for needing sustenance. Mm-hmm. Eventually your body and mind will take over and be like ravenous.
Yeah. It's not really willpower. I mean, I think we always just continue. We just keep going back and thinking like, oh, if I just had more willpower, I'm going to have willpower this time. And it never happens. Yeah. So stop telling yourself that.
Yeah. It's not, stop it's trying survival. To make willpower happen. It's not going to
stop
happen.
Trying to make willpower happen.
It's not a thing.
Sarah, I need like a poster of that in my room.
That's amazing.
I actually saw this quote once that I like think about often. At one point it really did. I really put it into effect, but now I feel like I don't really do it as much, but it was like, follow the method, not the mood. So it's like, okay, do these things because you need to do them, and not because I'm like, oh, well, I don't feel like doing that right now, but it's like, okay, we'll just do it.
I love that.
Yeah. I don't know where I didn't even repin it. It was somewhere on Pinterest, and I don't know why. It just like one of those things where I didn't know it was going to stick with me, I think, until after.
I'm about to steal that for my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. That was extremely profound.
You're <Thanks, Laura. laughs> all welcome. I'm going to just claim that quote as my own
philosophy.
Yeah. Forget it. Like, stop saying that you saw it on Pinterest. That's yours.
It's mine.
I feel like I was dreaming one day and it was just downloaded into my mind. And I just thought, it's the method, not the mood.
Yeah. Follow the method, not the mood. I did that.
You even said it better. So like it came to you, not me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my quote, Tiffany. I actually would put at the time when I found out I had like a cubicle in my office that I was working at. And so I wrote it down and like put it in my cubicle, where I was walk out. And it was kind of there to remind me, like, just go to yoga, like just go to workout class or whatever, go work out after work. It's like, follow the method, not the mood. Like, I know you don't feel like it right now, but you've just been sitting on your ass for 9 hours, 8 hours.
I just did a post about that kind of the other day where I was like, I do these things not because I love it, because I know that it makes me feel good. I know that it gives me energy. Do I love going to the gym? No, I really don't enjoy working out, but I love how it makes me feel. I love the energy it gives me. I love how it makes my body work. And, and then I later said, like, the amazing thing about being an adult is we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Right.
But if you want to reach your goals, if you want to have this body, mind, whatever, like, you have to do things to reach that. And you have to, and You got to follow the method, not the mood. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, hello.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, it's kind of just like, I mean, I also saw a recent quote that I feel like I've seen everyone.
Okay, wait, is Lauren taking my position of like,
yeah, she's the quote queen now? No, this is like something I think everyone has heard of more so, but it's more just like, you know, don't work out as a punishment to because you hate your body. Work out because you love your body. Like, because you're
100%.
Feel yeah, look better. At you. I know. I'm just full of quotes today. I'm a philosopher now.
Pretty my job here is done. I don't even need to. I don't know what I'm doing.
But yeah. So also a lot of, you know, we're getting vaccinated now. We're starting to maybe things are opening up. You're feeling more comfortable going places. Like, what is your recommendations for traveling? Like, on when you're going on vacation, I feel like road trips especially, but even going on like flying too, like there's just, I feel like there's no easy way to be healthy doing that. Right. And at least not for me, because I'm always like, let me just grab these chips. Literally, I just had a road trip. Well, not intentional. It was an unintentional road trip because of flight cancellation, but I ate like an entire bag of gummy bears on the way because I was like, I got to stay awake and I don't drink caffeine. So like, got to like do something here. And so I'm like, I'm probably going to throw up when I get home, but it's fine. It's fine. But I guess, what are your recommendations? Like, I guess there's not like, I know most fast food isn't like healthy, but is there like better options for fast food or like things to pick up at the gas station that you can go for rather than like a Slurpee and some chips? I'm sure there's gotta be something else better there, but I don't know.
Okay. So if you're doing airplanes, if you're doing road trips, mm-hmm. You know, obviously if you're doing a road trip and you're driving for 2 days straight, mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to pack all of your food. But
right.
Number one, truly just be prepared. Mm-hmm. Don't count on yourself and don't count on the airport to have the food that is going to make you feel good, because they're not going to have a lot. Mm-hmm. Just bring some stuff along with you. Like pack some hard boiled eggs, string cheese, the almond butter packets, fruit,
Oh my God. I just imagine someone eating a hard boiled egg on a plane.
Okay. So maybe like, don't do it on the plane, but
okay, no, you're walking. If you get the little eggs that come in a packet, they smell like nothing. They literally,
right. I don't know why, but they don't. Yeah.
Which just, also makes me wonder why did they not smell like this? Anything? But I think it's because they have vinegar in them and they've dissipated the smell. I think I just picked that up. I don't know, but I do carry those. I think I also made that word up.
That seems like, right. I don't know.
Yeah. I carry those eggs around a lot and I find that they're useful and discreet. It's like carrying one of those tampons that are in those packages that don't make a lot of noise.
Wait, you're talking about the ones you buy from the store that are already hard boiled?
Yes.
Yeah. They're like, they come in these little packs. They oftentimes they come in like a pack of two, right?
No, I've seen them. I just always assumed they were disgusting. No?
No, they taste fine. Like
really good.
No. All right.
Yeah, I like them.
They're good.
And they don't smell like anything.
That's true. I believe her. I don't believe you as much, Tiffany, but I believe Megan.
Thank you.
Okay. I have to admit, last week I was on a plane and I bought an egg sandwich and
not.
I got on the plane and it smelled so bad.
You did not eat on a plane.
That's nasty.
No, I did. Wow. Because Tiffany. I've been used to buying these little eggs that smell like nothing. And then I opened up the plastic container and I was like, fuck, somebody just shit their pants.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, it's my food. Sandwich.
It was you.
I was a monster. I was so...
Everyone hated
you. I was like trying
you
to
that,
hide
right?
my sandwich. You know, like I broke every rule about traveling that there is. It's like,
did you keep eating it? You guys, the whole thing?
You know, I'm really concerned with my blood sugar. I'm like, I got to eat this. But
I
can't be eating a Biscoff cookie. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to feel like shit the rest of the day. I'm just going to jeopardize everybody else's experience to eat this egg sandwich. And I'm sorry. If you were on that flight back then.
I respect that. I really do.
Wow. I do not.
Your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like tried to put my hoodie around.
Oh,
like
no.
I tried to capture the smell, like, and keep it
oh,
with
my
me.
God.
It was like create a fort. Quite a scene. I did. I tried to create a fort, an egg fort. And I was like, I'm fine with it because I don't care. I'm eating it.
Oh my God. Was this pre-COVID times or was this like just the recent flight that you did?
This was like last week.
Oh my God. At least people had masks on, so maybe it wasn't as strong.
And you know what? I even thought that.
My God.
Okay. I'm a monster.
Sorry. It's okay. Anyway, confessions from Tiffany.
I want to go back though to just like the traveling and the snacks and whatever.
Yes, please.
No, but we don't need to be eating snacks all day long. Like, I think that's something that needs to be said, because there's something about traveling or, mm-hmm. you know, you even mentioned like going to the pool and like, I have to have mm-hmm. all these snacks. Why? I think right. it's just something that we've learned. It's a habit. Have a really good blood sugar balancing meal before you do any of this. And you're not going to get ravenously hungry. I mean, you can go a good 4 to 6 hours having a smoothie that's like loaded up with protein and healthy fat and mm-hmm. fiber. And so that would be my number one tip, you know, as far right. as travel goes, like get a really good base in, and then, you know, you can bring extra snacks with you, but it's not something that like, what, you know, what it is about a car trip that makes us think that we have to load up an entire cooler with snacks. Yeah. Like we're going right. to die if we drive 6 hours without eating.
I need three tubes of Pringles. Like I don't know how am I getting through.
Yeah. I'm going to wither away if I don't eat all three of these tubes. Yeah. That doesn't happen. So I think that would be my number one tip, is just kind of like rethink that and be like, wait, I don't actually need to snack.
Right.
I can just eat like a really good quality meal before mm-hmm. I go. Mm-hmm. My biggest tip for vacation, this is earth shattering. Okay. Seriously. This is so good. And
I'm ready.
We do this. This is a secret from my program. This is like a game changer for so many people. I'm not being sarcastic. I know I kind of sound like it, but this is.
No, I believe you.
No, okay. I'm like on the edge of my seat right
Same.
Now.
So you.
I just sat up.
I know we do. I'm like, okay.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm ready.
I need to listen to this.
So you just get one whatever meal a day. Okay. So oftentimes we go on vacation and it's so all or nothing. Like we might start out with like, I'm going to be super healthy. I got to stay skinny. I don't want to gain weight. And we, you know, restrict and
this eat. Is the beginning of the week.
This is the beginning of the week, mm-hmm. you know, and then by the end of the week, it's like
shit.
Just, oh yeah. I mean, we're like blacking out, like eating pizza. I mean, we still might be blacking out even for being hungry. I don't know. But like, by the end of the week, you're just like shoving pizza down your throat. You're like eating pancakes and mimosas for breakfast. You're just totally spiraling. Cool. And then you get home and you're bloated and puffy and you feel sick and you're like, you know, how did that happen? And you're constipated and whatever else. So what you do is you just go into vacation being like, I'm going to have one meal a day that I just completely enjoy. I don't care. I'm going to eat whatever I want. And the other two, I'm going to keep in my program, we say keep it PHFF, which stands for protein, healthy fat, and fiber. Mm-hmm. But so let's say, for example, you wake up in the morning and if you're a coffee drinker, maybe you're just going to make like a protein coffee in the morning. You're going to add some collagen and you're going to bring this with you. You're going to add some collagen. You're going to add some, maybe like acacia fiber or inulin, you know, some sort of fat, like a coconut oil, or I like heavy cream. I do organic heavy cream, but whatever it is that you want, you know, you can bring your little handheld blender, blend it up, have your protein coffee. Or maybe you're having some hard boiled eggs or just depending on where you are, whatever it is. And then for lunch, maybe you go out and you get like a good salad with some protein and some healthy fat with some avocado or, you know, some like fish and veggies. And then for dinner, it's just whatever. It's like you go out for a run. You're not thinking about like, well, I'm going to have a little bit of carbs. No, you get whatever you want. Like, I don't care. And then maybe the next day you guys are going out for like a fancy boozy breakfast. So you kind of do whatever you want, but then you keep it light the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. So you still get that vacation experience where you just eat whatever the hell you want for whatever meal, but you're just keeping it, you know, within a certain parameters in the other meals. And you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. You're not getting bloated. You're not feeling like crap. You know, you're just enjoying yourself on vacation. And when I hear this over and over and over and over and over again, people that do this and they come back, they're like, oh my God, I did not gain a pound on vacation. That's never happened to me before in my life. I don't feel like crap. I'm not bloated. It works.
Yeah.
And part of it
is groundbreaking.
It's like groundbreaking, but it's not. It's like, okay,
well, it's like, okay, like just don't fall victim to restrict and binge. I feel like
exactly. That's the same all thing that,
and look at me. I'm like trying to give these golden advice nuggets out here. And then here I am. I do the same thing on vacation. Well, at the beginning of the week, I'm like so strict. And then by the end of the week, I'm having pancakes for breakfast, which there's nothing wrong with that for me personally. I just don't do well with carbs at the beginning of the day.
Same.
It just like throws my blood sugar off the rest of the day. And then I just feel sleepy. So I personally don't like to have carbs until the end of the day or like the middle of the day. But I like to start with a lot of fats. But I only like to stick to like at most 3 meals a day. So I'm going to go back to what you were talking about.
Yeah.
We talked about this in the first episode, but I think that, you know, this like circa 2000s, 2010s, it was so hot to have 6 to 8 meals a day. Like, why?
Yeah, it's like, oh, we need
that is so hard on your digestive system. It's nonstop going all the time. Like, could you imagine if you were just up 24 hours a day? You're never sleeping. Of course, you're going to be tired and slow and muggy. Mm-hmm.
So, and I actually learned that from you, Megan, when I started following you a few years ago, that it's like your like metabolism makeover program kind of thing. It's just like, we don't need to be doing like all of these things. Like it's mm-hmm. too much. Your metabolism has no time to even reset at all. Right. Between meals or that night or whatever. So I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So let's just throw that out the window. You guys stop eating 6 to 8 meals a day. It doesn't work
all day. Yeah. And that is so nobody actually wants to eat all day. I mean, we've got it's so like, many other things
eating
to
is
do.
Time consuming.
It is.
I don't want to spend that much time thinking about food. I think I don't think it's like, for me personally, it's not like a healthy mindset for me. Mm-hmm. And I start like overanalyzing everything and then I just give up and eat like crap. So it's like all the snacks I want to eat, if I'm going to snack during the day, are nothing good. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. like bad, it's always bad stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'm snacking during the day, but I'm actually snacking on like chips. So who cares? It doesn't, what is this actually doing for me? It's hurting.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the vacation thing too, like it's just, it's also just a mindset shift. So it is like, it's not, mm-hmm. you're not doing the all or nothing thing. So just having that very simple mindset shift where you're like, I have permission to eat whatever I want at this one mm-hmm. meal. It just, it makes you, you don't even want to binge. You don't want to go over it. And then by the end of the week, you're like, wow, I still feel really good. This is awesome.
Yeah. Follow the method, not the mood.
I mean, I think that's the title of the episode. I don't know.
100%. It has to be at this point. So it's pretty funny, like when we were talking about just vacation and weight, I always lose weight when I'm on vacation, but I come back so bloated every time and I can't even understand or explain why. But I think it has to do with not working out the same amount. And maybe, I'm not sure. I haven't actually been able to figure it out, but I do lose weight. And then I come back and I feel so much heavier. I feel like I'm walking in concrete, like wet concrete all the time.
Well, it's probably just the different foods that you're eating on vacation. You know,
probably
doing a lot more carbs. I mean, that really can make you feel, that can really drag you down, especially if you're not used to it or your body's not super tolerant to it. That could be the case as well.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Because when I come home, I eat a lot of
inflammation
all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This might be TMI, but whatever. I feel like anytime I go on vacation, even if it's just like a weekend or whatever, I literally just get, I'm so constipated. I just never ever go to the bathroom like that. And I come back and it's just like, oh, we're back to normal.
Yeah.
That's what makes me bloated.
I used to be the same way.
Yeah.
It was like the second I came home after my flight, it would be like a 4-day long poop. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I wouldn't eat all week. And then I would walk in the door. And as soon as it was like, I knew that my bathroom was near and I was like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
But I've started taking Trifla. Have you heard of that, Megan?
No, I was just going to ask you what you do now.
It's an Ayurvedic. Are you familiar with Ayurveda at all?
I know what it is, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, people swear by it. It's just basically an ancient medical science. So instead of using modern medicine, you use like herbs and spices and stuff to help heal your body. So they swear like by Trifla, and it is supposed to be a natural way to detox and get rid of like the stuck stuff in your body, but it's not like a laxative where you only take it if you're constipated. It's you're taking it every single day. Mm-hmm. And I've never had an issue with going to the bathroom except when I'm on vacation. And so this last vacation, I made sure to take my bottle of Trifla with me and it was a game changer.
What is it? Is it like a supplement or something? Or like, what is it?
It's they're like little herb pills, but they have, they're just like a combination of stuff. But for anybody that is looking to like just regulate your system, I find that when I started taking that and just including a lot of Ayurvedic practices in general, I find that it's very consistent, except for the fact that I am highly inflamed, which could be from I am battling a sinus infection right now. Can't hear it.
Cute. Yeah, I'm battling dehydration, which is why I sound like this.
Cool.
But I guess kind of on that kind of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of fad diets going around. You know, we have like the keto, the paleo, Whole30. I feel like those really kick it up a notch when, you know, it's summertime and people always want to like drop weight right before a vacation. I am also guilty of this. I'm like, oh crap, I should probably have worked out this my whole life, but now I'm going to do it the last like 2 weeks before a vacation or like 1 week before a vacation. Like try to like, I don't even know what I'm trying to do. I'm not thinking I'm going to lose. Like, what am I thinking? I'm going to lose like 10 pounds. I'm not. And so, yeah. And I guess I think it's more mental, I think, than anything, but I feel like a lot of people do this. And like, what do you think? I mean, I guess, is there any fad diet kind of things that you're like, definitely no, and some that are like, yes, that could be good. Maybe not for like extreme weight loss in a few days or anything like that, but just kind of, I mean, what are, I feel like as women especially, we get targeted for these kinds of ads and we get tricked a lot. And, you know, it also depends on your body as well, I know. But what are your thoughts with those?
Yeah. So I would say, so as far as like no, never type of diets would be anything that you see that is super low calorie.
Yeah.
Like a, even like a juice cleanse for the most part, I'm pretty anti juice cleanse. So anything that's going to be super low calorie or have a lot of juices and like sugars, because here's why, anything like that. Number one, if you're doing something with only liquids, you are absolutely going to lose weight. I mean, you're going to lose a ton of water weight. You know, right. You're just going to flush a lot of stuff out of your system, which is okay, but that's just going to rebound. Mm-hmm. And you're going to eventually feel like crap and it probably start to seriously retain water. So you'll probably gain the weight back and then extra. Mm-hmm. And anything that you do that's going to be super low calorie, I wouldn't recommend because that's going to eventually suppress your metabolism. And it's really not going to do much, you know, for your fat stores. Like if you, like, let's say you do something super low calorie for 3 days. I mean, that's just, it's just not really, it's not enough. It's not going to do enough for you. You're going to feel terrible. And then you're probably more than likely, like we talked about earlier, Tiffany, like you're going to end up overeating once you can start to reintroduce food.
So you're fucking hungry.
Yeah. Cause you're hungry.
Your body's starving.
That's why those things just don't work. Now, as far as like, let's say the keto diet, cause I know seriously, name one person that hasn't tried that.
I mean, we both definitely have.
Yeah.
We both have definitely done it.
Yeah. And it can be fine. But it's not a long-term solution. And I think that's what people need to know is,
yeah,
sure. If someone were to come to me and they were like, look, I've got this huge event in a week, like SOS, that, you know, going into ketosis or at least like really seriously cutting carbs for a week. Mm-hmm. Great. Like let's cut carbs for a week. Let's get rid of some water weight. You know, get rid of any, like drop anything that you're kind of holding on to, reduce a ton of bloat, that will work, but it's not something that you're just going to continue doing. You have to have a foundation. Mm-hmm. And those types of diets also, like, let's say again, like I have an event in a week, I need to, whatever, I'm going to do keto. Stuff like that works so much better for people who already have a high functioning metabolism and already have their body and their mind, their mental health around food in a place where it's healthy and their body is going to respond so much better to something like doing keto for a week. Mm-hmm. If you're somebody that is doing keto and then a juice cleanse and then you're binging for a week and then you're doing this, that is a disaster for your thyroid, for all of your hormones, for your metabolism, and you're just going to eventually continue to gain weight over time because you're really going to tank out your hormones and your metabolism doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so like I think you also have
to,
be mentally prepared after doing like a week of keto and then going back to normal. You have to know that after you do a week of keto, you have to say like, I am cool with then coming back and gaining maybe 3 or 4 pounds in the first couple of days. Like you have to know this is not something's not wrong with me. This is just normal because you're then adding on water weight pretty quickly in a small amount of time after adding carbs back in. So you have to be like mentally tough enough to be cool with putting that weight back on via a number on a scale.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point, which is why I'm saying like it is so important to have that good relationship with food. I just was talking about this on my story. Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah. Like we have this 3-pronged approach to weight loss. So many of us are so focused on the physical. Okay. I physically have to lose weight. So I'm going to restrict calories. I'm going to work out a ton. I'm going to cut my carbs. I'm going to do all this stuff so that I can be smaller. Well, that can work in the short term, but it is never going to work over time because you have to, number one, you need to understand your body and how it works and your metabolism and your blood sugar and like how you put your body in fat burning mode. And there's so much more to weight loss than just reducing calories. So much more. So you have to understand that. Once you understand that, that's when your relationship with food will really start to change, because you feel empowered. You feel like, I have control over my body. I know what kind of foods I should be eating and how they're affecting me and how they're making me feel. And when you really start to figure that out, it's amazing what happens. Like, you just, you have a complete transformation in your mind, and then you can start to see physical results that will actually last.
The relationship with your body is reciprocal. Like, you're totally, you're putting in the energy and your body is listening. But if you're not actually understanding what's going on the inside, there is no reciprocation. So one person or the other is going to be pissed. Somebody's always going to be disappointed.
Yeah. That
just hit me right there.
That, it's so true. I'm so glad you said that. It's such a good way of putting it, because I can't tell you how many times I hear from people, well, I mean, if I'm not tracking, like, how do I know? Like, how do you know?
Because
if
you're overeating? They're not listening.
Yeah.
I'm like, trust me, you will know.
Yeah. Right.
It takes time, and you have to, if you've been telling your body to fuck off for this long, like, it's going to take a while to rebuild that trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that little tiny whisper in the wind. That's your body.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you, if you're like, whisper, you know, flooding it with like shit all the time, you can't hear. Like, okay, I'm hungry. Okay, I'm done. Okay, this, like that. But then if you're like Pocahontas and actually listen to the whispers in the wind, you can hear exactly what your body needs, because she will tell you.
Grandmother Willow will tell you when it's time to stop eating.
And we know because we've been through this. Like, can you go back however many years and think to yourself, if someone were to tell you that, you'd be like, no, that's not, like,
right.
I don't know how to stop eating when I'm full. Like, I just don't. I'm not going to. Like, it seems, for so many people listening, it probably seems impossible. And like, we're all here to tell you it's not. It is entirely possible, but it is a process, you know, and it's
especially coming from like a type A personality where it's like, no, listen, I got this. Trust me. I know how to do this. So like, you could tell me all day long. I'd be like, no. I know what's happening, but no, so silly. Little girl had no idea.
I'm that kind of person, but I'm also really lazy and like very easy, convenient things. So I definitely, if I can do it, y'all can do it. Because I mean, the fact that I just, like, and honestly, when I did keto, I did it for like 10 weeks and I stopped. But after like 3 weeks, I didn't even really want, like, it was, I remember being so insane to me that people literally were like, I was at a party and they were like ordering, people ordered pizza. Who in the right mind would ever have turned up? I would have never turned down a pizza ever. And especially when I was drinking. But I literally, while drunk, they're like, do you want pizza? And I was not hungry. And normally that doesn't stop me. But I was like, no, I don't really want it. And they're like, what? You don't, like, it's pizza. You don't want pizza? Are you not, you're drunk, right? Like, you don't want pizza? And I'm like,
you're human, right?
No, like, I don't.
I think that is the cool thing about keto, though, is you break the addiction to sugar. And any carbs are sugar. So like, you do
a big
sugar relationship, as long as you're mentally strong enough to understand like what's actually happening with your body. And again, I think that's what Megan is saying. It's like, you, if you have a deeper understanding of what is happening, when it's happening, you then realize, okay, the reason why I'm not craving pizza or anything is because I have now put a good, strong stance on my glucose levels all the time. Cause they're just like, if you're eating carbs and sugars when you're not supposed to, yes, you're going to be rebounding from that sugar spike all day long, which like without, and when you're in ketosis, you're not flooded with sugars all the time because you're living off of the fats. So that, I think that is a cool thing if you've never tried keto, but you have to understand what's actually happening at a cellular level. Otherwise you don't, you get nothing from keto.
Yeah.
That's so key. That's so key. You have to understand it.
If you guys couldn't see that, Megan was shaking her head the whole time. So that's why I kept talking.
I mean, literally keto is the first and the only like fad diet I've ever stuck to for any amount of time, more than like a few days. So if I can do it, seriously, like, I'm so fucking lazy. Like, it's like so lazy when it comes to making food, when it comes to like, I'm just like, let me order something, or like, I'll just grab a bag of chips or whatever I can grab that's easy and I don't have to cook it, you know, because I hate cooking. But it was not, I even made like a keto pizza and I was like pretty good. And I have never made a pizza from scratch like that. So it's very easy. But yeah, keto is like the only thing I'm like, I'll always tell people, like, try it, know what, do your research, but like, don't just like go into it. Cause there is like, you got to know some things before you go into it, but
salt water will be your best friend in ketosis.
Yeah. I just eat a lot of salt anyway.
Yeah. Actually, let's talk about salt for a second, because I have to share this because recently I was getting so tired. This was going on for like 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. Exhausted all the time. I was having to take naps during the day, which is so bizarre. I'm normally somebody that's pretty high energy, so groggy in the morning. And I just kept thinking like, okay, this is just like what it's like to be the mom of a toddler, like a single mom of a toddler. Okay. I'm just going to be tired all the time. Mm-hmm. But it was getting to the point where it was debilitating. I mean, I couldn't even get work done. So I mentioned something to a friend of mine who's a functional medicine doctor. And she asked me a few questions and she was like, Megan, honestly, I think you've kind of shot your adrenals. I mean, they're probably not like completely out of control. You can probably still save them, but just with all the stress I've had in the last few years, mm-hmm. Again, and you know, the mom thing. So she was like, she gave me a product. It's called Adrenal Cocktail, but she's like, until you mm-hmm. get this, just start adding like a quarter of a teaspoon of a really good high quality, like Himalayan sea salt into your mm-hmm. Water. So I was like, okay, you know, I did it one, I'm not kidding you. I did it one night, went to bed, woke up the next morning, was like, I actually don't feel too bad this morning. Made myself another salt water, a couple more throughout the day. I went the entire day feeling amazing. Had like one cup of coffee. It was, took me all the way till 10:30 at night. Like I was up doing stuff, went to bed, slept great within one day. And now I've just made it a regular practice where I'm just including, you know, once or twice a day. I add 100%. A little bit of salt and minerals to my water. So hot tip, if you're feeling like death every day, you may just be depleted in salt. And what I learned was that when we're pumping out a lot of cortisol, which I just got my labs done, and my cortisol, as usual, is like off the charts, especially in the morning. But when you're pumping out a lot of cortisol, your body actually starts burning through sodium. And so you can really easily become sodium depleted, and you almost feel like you're dehydrated all the time too, which I did. Mm-hmm. I just always felt dehydrated no matter what. I felt like water just like didn't quench me at all.
Right.
So little tidbit.
Interesting. I have so many things to say about this right now.
Okay.
I've heard,
Lauren, go ahead.
I had a feeling like you would. So many things.
Well, no, honestly, like I've always heard salt water, like if you're, you know, scratchy throat or whatever, cause you know, just for those kinds of things. But recently in the past like week or so, like I've been hearing like just like what you're saying, like adding a little bit of Himalayan salt, and I'm like, well, I don't need to do that because I really feel like I eat so much salt in the day anyway. But it's, and I do use Himalayan salt, but I don't really know how great it is really. But it's like I got it from like Kroger, I don't know. But
I mean, mine's from like Costco, so don't worry.
Okay, perfect.
It works.
So, but yeah, and I love salt, so honestly I'll just eat it out of my freaking hand, like, not gonna lie. Oh, pro tip, Trader Joe's garlic salt is the absolute best thing I've ever bought in my life. So go buy that. Actually, don't. So there's some more for me. If you live in Atlanta, don't buy it. But anywhere else, go buy it. It's so, so good. But I mean, I've been hearing recently though about adding salt, and I didn't know. I thought it adds like electrolytes, I guess, kind of. And also, I don't know if you watched that Zac Efron thing on Netflix. Down to Earth. Yeah, Down to Earth.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
The one about water. And
I didn't watch that series.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Tiffany.
No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Tiffany,
no, it's a thing.
It's like a really funny thing. Like all of our community knows that, like, what does it for me is Zac Efron.
Yes. Okay. Did not
he just
know
like
that.
Trying to save the world.
He does, and that's it for everyone.
Hot to be.
He's just so like, hot. He's never been hotter than that series.
That's all that matters to me. If you're trying to do like something sustainable, okay, WAP, done.
Just WAP.
That's it. Yeah.
The water one was definitely my favorite.
Mine too, because I drink so much good. Water.
I immediately was like, I need spring water in my house. Yeah. I'm like calling around. I'm like, who has spring water? I need it.
I will only buy Fiji water now. Like,
totally.
That's it. I've become that person. I'm a snob now with my water. So we've reached that level of
old. Tap water is filthy.
Yeah, I've always thought that.
Well, yeah. But basically the show says, you know, even if it's filtered, it's just like the worst water in the world. I'm like, oh my God, I have to reevaluate my entire life now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But in a pinch, I'll drink it. I don't care. I'm like the thirstiest person ever. Okay. Yeah, so, I do have questions about what you just talked about. Yes. So I too am a huge fan of salt water. I'll talk about that. But first, you were saying that there was a cocktail that you could use to help adrenal like issues. So yeah. I don't know if I personally have what, you know, like in the world, a hot word, like a buzzword is adrenal fatigue. I think that at some point I probably have just maxed out the hormones and my adrenal system is not working properly. I'm not sure that you can even put a gauge on if you do have, like, they're not working, but I think if there was, I've been to the point where it, like, nothing works. So does this cocktail help, like, reverse adrenal fatigue where, like, nothing is working properly, or can it only save what's, like, already left? Does that make sense?
Also, can we explain what adrenal fatigue is? Because I don't actually think that I know. I'm asking for a friend. But I don't know. Maybe someone listening doesn't know either, but I just, can we clarify?
It's not like a real medical diagnosis. Actually, a lot of people in the medical community don't recognize it and they think it's fake. You know, I personally do believe that you can wear out your adrenal system. Yeah, we could go back and forth on this, but there is absolutely something that happens in your body when you are continuously pumping out cortisol over and over and over again. Your adrenal system is pumping out cortisol and it gets tired and you
just gives
eventually
up.
It just gives up and you eventually stop regulating your cortisol properly and you get exhausted. I mean, that is the most, like, glazed over version I can give you, but essentially that's what happens.
It's just like waving the white flag. Like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you're done. Like, you can't keep doing this to your body. So, like, we're just bye. Like, we're just,
which anybody would, any human, like, if you were the same, if you were going through the same thing at a human level, you'd be like, I can't take this. You're punching me in the face all day long. Okay. I give up. Fuck it. Punch me. I got pretty much no defense left.
So Tiffany, what I read about this, because I did a lot of research in one night when I was just, my mind was just blown. I was like, wait, what? I'm deficient in salt. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, it can actually reverse it. And if you have completely destroyed your adrenal system and your hormones are totally out of whack, you probably should be working with a functional medicine doctor and looking at everything, because there could be a lot of different things going on. This is probably not going to be the only thing that you're going to do. But yeah, I mean, I was reading case after case of people who started, you know, adding salt, adding electrolytes to their water, and, you know, every single glass of water that they had during the day. And then they were slowly able to kind of taper back, and you can gauge it there's a few different ways. So number one, if you're adding salt to your water, like maybe a quarter teaspoon, let's say, and it really doesn't taste very salty, that probably means that you are salt deficient. If you're drinking it and you're like, oh, this is disgusting, then you're probably fine.
Right.
So I started finding, I was doing like 3 times a day. And then I started to find that I was getting a little bloated. I was like, okay, I'm not bloated. I just knew I was retaining some water. I don't know how, but you know, you can just tell kind of around your stomach.
Right.
So then I weighed myself and I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, I'm up like 2 pounds consistently. I'm going to kind of back off. And then it went back down. Mm-hmm. So now I'm kind of at a place where I know in the morning I do the salt, and then occasionally if I'm just feeling really drowsy or like whatever later in the afternoon, I do it again, and it always gives me kind of a pick me up. So
I thought you were saying that there was a cocktail.
I was
like a supplement.
Okay. Yes. So it's called Adrenal Cocktail, and Jigsaw Health makes it. And you can get it on Amazon.
I'm buying that
you can
right
get
now.
It on. Yeah. You can get it anywhere. So don't think there's capsules, and then there's like a drink version, like a mixed drink. It doesn't taste good. I mean, it tastes salty. So I've had a lot of people order and they're like, oh, it was orange. I thought it was going to taste like orange juice. I'm like, no, it's like salt and it's got vitamin C in it as well. But you know, you can mix it with other stuff. I have a prebiotic supplement I take from Just Thrive. That's like kind of fruity. So I add that.
I love Just Thrive.
But honestly, I feel like you're like me where, you don't like, it might taste nasty, but if it's going to make me feel good, I don't care.
I don't care either.
But if you do care, you know, you might want to add, like, if you have something else to add to it, you might want to do that. Cause it is going to be, it's going to be salty.
I used to care until gross stuff started making me feel better. And I was like, okay, I don't care anymore.
So do you recommend using that cocktail instead of salt? Like, does it provide a different benefit?
Well, it does have potassium. And it also has vitamin C. And I'm trying to remember, I think the vitamin C, I want to say the vitamin C like helps open up your cells to allow the
electrolytes and stuff to be processed
better absorbed. So, but you could also, you know, you could also take like a vitamin C supplement and then all, you know, take potassium. So it just kind of depends on like how many supplements you have. I do like to do the adrenal cocktail. I think it's a good balance of the right electrolytes. And I, in addition to that, I do take magnesium as well, so that I'm getting the magnesium supplement.
I am a huge fan of adding magnesium in. Laura and I had a conversation about this.
Mm-hmm. I started doing it too.
Supplements I take already have magnesium in it. I didn't realize I was already getting a lot of that, but then I added in an additional magnesium capsule and it just made a huge difference. It's like your natural antidepressant type of supplement.
Yeah.
No, it totally is. It. Magnesium is one that I generally recommend to everybody. You know, we're all sort of
magnesium deficient.
Magnesium, there's just not, we don't get enough in our diet. Our soil is totally depleted of it. So the normal foods that you would get magnesium from, you know, 50 years ago have less magnesium now. So just add it.
Mostly because our farmers have to use certain chemicals that kill all of the stuff in there, which is a whole nother conversation. But in general, we are depleted from like the natural minerals that are added in from dirt, from your vegetables and your fruits that they don't have the minerals that they normally have because we use fertilizers that actually kill all that stuff that are healthy for us. So I started adding Celtic salt, which is different than your Himalayan salt. It has a lot of natural minerals that can be found from your root vegetables.
I've heard of that actually. I need to get some of that. Where do you get it?
Yeah. So I get mine from Amazon. I got it from Ben Greenfield. Do you guys know who that is?
Oh yeah.
So I love him. He's
like his book. Every night. Yeah.
If you guys haven't heard of Ben Greenfield, he has a great podcast. He just talks a lot about life and dirt and all the things that have to do with keeping your body where it should be. So a lot of the tips I get do come from him, and I feel like he's pretty well researched.
He's pretty well researched.
He's well researched. So I started adding Celtic salt into my water.
Yeah,
about 6 months ago.
That now, and it's jogging my memory because I remember being like, "I need to get some of that Celtic salt." So I'm gonna order
it. I use it on everything now.
Okay,
I put that shit on everything.
I was just about to say. Well, also too, I know you're
really fast about the salt water. I will say that if you're not feeling good or you're low on energy, I am a personal testament that it will act quickly. And normally it's like a fix to a lot of issues that you don't even know you're having.
Well, I told you overnight. I mean, literally I had a glass of salt water and I woke up feeling like a different person. And I was like, is this a placebo effect? I don't think it is. Mm-mm. I don't think it is.
It's real.
Well, it is a placebo effect. Keep it going then.
Well, and I'll tell you guys too, that I've been recently talking about this on my stories. And I am now getting all these messages from people who are like, oh my God, I started doing this, or I ordered the adrenal cocktail or whatever. And it literally changed my life. I'm like, no, I know. It's like, awesome. I'm just, so please, everyone, drink salt water. This is the
yes, do it.
The subtitle of this.
Everyone drink salt water.
And like adding a really healthy mineral dense salt to your water or your diet is different than like a sodium dense processed frozen meal. So that is different. It is processed differently. So like if you think, I already have too much sodium in my diet, I can't add in salt on top of already my high sodium diet, it's different. It's so different. If you're tracking your sodium, if you find that you have to track your sodium, then you probably need to like chill out with the processed foods in general. That's at least my opinion. I don't know that I'm not a dietitian, but I think
it's really difficult to overdo things like Celtic salt, Himalayan salt. Our bodies just process it much differently.
You'll throw up.
Yeah, exactly. It is a different type of salt than the salt that you're getting in your more processed foods. Mm-hmm, it's a completely different type of salt.
Okay.
It's like refined sugars plus
whatever sugar.
You know, whatever. That's something smart to say.
Chemically, it's a different type of salt. So it's very different.
I mean, it makes sense because our water, like purified water, they're saying on that Down to Earth show on Netflix, Zac Efron. You're welcome for the plug, Zac Efron. I mean, it's fine.
He's a regular listener.
Yeah, he appreciates the help, you know. But they're saying that purified water is like the worst one that you could drink. Like if a water bottle says like purified, blah, 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 it's like, don't drink that. Which I was like,
stripped it of all the good shit.
But that's interesting because like purified is such a nice word. It's a positive word. And it doesn't, like, I've always thought that was the best water to drink. And they're like, no, it's losing. You lose all the minerals that are in water. The whole reason water is good for you in the first place is because of the minerals. And I was like, what? I have been lied to, hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray. I'm like, what is happening? I've never known any of this.
Yeah, is that not the story of our life though? Is like,
it is.
We believe all the shit that the man has told us.
The damn media, the man.
The moral of the story of that episode really was everything is a lie.
Yeah.
Life is not real.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And Zac Efron needs to marry me. That's the whole everything in that episode. It's like episode 2. They're in France. Go watch it.
Okay, Megan, I have a quick question because we're talking about being lied to. You posted something on your story today, and I just feel like you're always dropping these like truth bombs where I'm like, mm-hmm. One, just everything you talk about, you know, the standard 60 minutes of cardio a day and 1200 calories is like what we were told as women we need to do in order to be like lean and hot and a good looking athlete, mm-hmm. which is a lie. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please go follow her on Instagram. She talks all about these things. But you posted today that the BMI measurement was made for what reason? Can you tell me a little bit about
Tiffany
that?
Tiffany loves this reason.
This is my story in life. I'm like, the white man he was made to oppress all the great things that were in
life. Yeah, it was like for white, it was made to something to like, for white men basically, to like test their measurements.
By the way, I don't think any white man listens to this podcast because I'm basically just talking shit about white men all the time.
I'm sure.
I'm with one, so I cannot.
Right, you know, same, but it is. BMI, it was a mathematician, you know, it was like 200 years ago, and it was really just created to study just characteristics in men, and yes, in particular, white men. Mm-hmm. And so it somehow got carried over into this measurement for both men and women just to measure their health based on their height and their weight. Like that was not what it was ever meant for to begin with. So when you consider that men's body compositions too are completely different from women's,
right?
We should it should have never been a measurement meant for women, and especially not a measurement meant for doctors to tell women that they're overweight or that they're at risk for certain diseases because of their BMI. Now, listen, you know, if we're looking just at body fat percentage and we're looking at other labs and we're looking at the whole person and there's risk factors, yeah, great. Like we should be talking about that. If you have mm-hmm. risk factors, like that is really important thing to address, mm-hmm. but just looking at your height and your weight and having no concept of muscle mass or fat mass. I have a friend recently who went and got her body scan and she's little itty bitty. She's like a size 0 and she had a higher body fat percentage and a lower lean muscle mass percentage than someone else, you know, that had done it right next to her who was weighed a lot more than her. And we were just having this discussion because she knew, she was very aware. She's like, I'm not surprised. Like I know I'm not healthy. I want to put on more lean muscle mass. And this was a really good exercise for me. But, you know, we just had this discussion around like that, you know, someone like her, who's going to go to the doctor and the doctor's going to be like, oh yeah, you're great. Like you have like the perfect BMI. But the reality was she had very little lean muscle mass and a lot more fat. Whereas, you know, someone else that might weigh a lot more than her has a lot more lean muscle mass and a lot less fat. And so it's just pointless. Like who cares?
Yeah. Which is really funny because on the flip side, I would consider myself a pretty healthy person. Mm-hmm. And my BMI will tell me that I am one notch below obese.
Well, same. Are you serious?
That's what they literally.
Well, I've been told that. Cause how tall are you, Lauren?
I'm 5'7" ish, like almost 5'8".
I know. Right? Yeah. I think but if I have like you are, the more it gets into, it's totally disproportionate.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I'm like, I'm not even close to being obese.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have an athletic body type. And when I carry more muscle, when I work out more, obviously I weigh more.
Yes.
So it's like, oof, you are one notch away from being obese. I'm like, oh, what?
No. So if you're tall, if you're above average, like height and you're athletic and you have a lot of muscle mass, you really get up there on the scale and you can go into being quote unquote overweight. If you're more my height, I'm 5'4", there's just like more wiggle room, which makes mm-hmm. no sense. Like that makes absolutely no sense at all.
Right.
So you know that the measurements are completely off.
No.
So none of it makes sense. So the point is like, a lot of times,
the point is like, just don't look at BMI ever.
No, don't. BMI is
some people
dumb.
Will gauge their calorie intake based off of their BMI. So the moral of the story is you can't make a number for your whole life for your calorie intake based off a number that doesn't actually fit you. So then everyone's confused and lost. So like you have to go back again to the self. The only thing that can really tell you what you're supposed to be eating is mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, as a blanket statement.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. I was literally told I was obese a few years ago from I was at a gym. It was like a kickboxing gym or whatever. And they do that thing where when you sign up for the gym, you like have a little consultation or free like personal coaching class or whatever. And I didn't want to do it, but they're like, you have to do it. And I was like, okay. So they did that. They weighed me and they said my height. And then they're like, and I'm like, I was like 135 pounds, maybe 140 at best. And like I'm 5'7", maybe 5'7" and a half. Like, and they're like, oh, well, you're actually obese. And I was like, no, I'm not. I literally laughed at him. Thank God I was that kind of a person. But like, I mean, I've definitely had a struggle, like struggles with eating and my body and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's so dangerous to say to people. I'm like, are you just sitting here around like telling girls who are size 4 that they're obese? Like, that's so fucked up. So after that, I was like, BMI is a bunch of bullshit and I will never listen to anyone who talks about it like as gospel.
No.
As that. But I did have one last question that I want to kind of get into about, which I know Tiffany, I want to talk to her about. She'll probably have a lot to say about this as well because you guys are both moms. But like for children, like how, I know you're, how old is your daughter, Megan?
1.5.
1.5.
And Thule will eat anything and everything. I watch your stories. I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
She's like, I will say, okay, she's getting more picky. She's starting to figure out her preferences. So there is that, but I can give you some tips on helping your kids eat a lot more. But here's the thing. I can only speak to, I started from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I cannot speak to if you have like a 5-year-old that is mm-hmm. picky. I don't. So we'll go to Tiffany for that. But my biggest piece of advice here would be we're told in the United States anyways, start your kids on rice cereal, fruit, purees, you know, feed them vegetables, but feed them like sweet vegetables like carrots or sweet potatoes or, you know, mix peaches in with their green beans. But the problem with that is when we're introducing these really sweet foods to kids at such a young age, why on earth, like if you give your kid a peach, if that's their first food, why would they ever eat a green bean? You know, they'd be like,
I don't eat green beans today.
No, like I'm going to have peach, right? And we're even as adults, you know, and we mm-hmm. were just talking about this earlier, how you do get addicted to sugar. And once you actually like get it out of your system, then your body can like let go and stop craving it. But mm-hmm. as a baby, that doesn't happen. So what I did when she was young was I just off the bat was feeding her foods that you would never expect to feed a baby. You know, I'm feeding her, well, avocado was her first food. That's pretty normal. But, you know, I preferenced eggs for breakfast over fruit or, you know, vegetables, like even bitter vegetables, like arugula, mixing that in with her, her eggs. So she's getting used to more bitter flavors. She's getting used to the taste of vegetables, meats, you know, giving her like grass fed meat and lots of like grass fed butter and like really nutrient dense foods. And I think that helped with her. She, you know, really would eat anything and everything, even like nasty stuff like sardines. Now she won't do that anymore, but when they're babies, they will eat stuff like that if you give it to them.
Yeah.
So, and there may be people out there listening, like, listen, my kid never did that. And maybe I'm just lucky, but that is my experience. She is starting to get a little pickier now, but here's the thing. I noticed that she started to get pickier and wanting more like sweet stuff and carbs and fruit when we traveled and I didn't have as much control over her food. So she's got grandparents that are giving her like 3 bananas a day and, you know, kind of just whatever she wants. Like, oh, look at, here's the Apple Jacks. Like give her some of these. And I'm not, you know, I didn't freak out over that. I'm not like the food police, but I noticed when we got home, suddenly she was like, I know what you've been holding out on me. Okay. So we're not doing this anymore. We're not doing.
Yeah. I know there's better things out there.
So, but I will say overall, you know, she is a pretty good eater. So just starting them out on more, like more blander, more bitter, like flavors that they would not normally suggest eating when they're babies because they'll eat whatever.
What always shocks me is the girl will tear up a poke bowl. She just has like, it has so much shit in it. There's like jalapenos and tuna and she's just
I can't even do that.
Handfuls shoving it in her mouth. I'm like, where are you going to see a 1.5-year-old like putting raw tuna in her mouth?
I know. Yeah, I know.
I'm like, I love her. She is my spirit animal. Just love her.
She's what I want to eat like.
Yes. Okay. And then Megan, for a while you had your hands full. She was just like throwing some tantrums. Is she still just like very charismatic or is she calmed down
very,
a little bit?
She's very charismatic. Passionate. Yes. I will say that I have been much more, I've been trying to discipline her a lot more as a first time mom. I'm kind of like, I had this whole conversation with the guy I'm dating and he's a dad too. And he very, very kindly said to me, he was like, you know, Megan, they do understand no at this age. So, you know, we start, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. So it has been helpful.
Wait, you said that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's great.
And very sweet. He's like the nicest guy ever, but I needed to hear that. This sounds so ridiculous, but I'm like, well, she doesn't understand anything. You know, she doesn't know. And well, no, she actually, as a matter of fact, she does. And, so, you know, we've been structuring her a little more. And by we, I mean me, of course. And she's been a little bit better, but she's still pretty, she's pretty wild still. Yeah. I mean, she definitely has her own.
So cute. I will say I live for it though. Like I do get excited. So what's funny is like when Megan, when you have a story like pop up, there are very few times that I go on and actively like look through a story because I just like to keep my stream of consciousness kind of like focused on the content that I'm putting out. Cause I mean, my job at the end of the day is to put content out and keep that kind of focused. Otherwise you're taking in a lot of other people's stuff and then you change what you're putting out. So I tend not to look at a lot of people's stuff, but whenever I see Megan's pop up, I can't help but click on it. Cause one, like I said, it's full of good information. Two, Tuli, her daughter is usually in there. And three, it's like, it's funny. So I love when Tuli's on there and you're just videoing her like throwing a fit. And I'm like, why are kids like upset? The funniest thing ever. It just is funny. They're just, they don't even know that what they're doing is like, actually, if they were an adult, it would be totally inappropriate, but they just don't care. They're just like,
well, most of the time kids aren't having a meltdown or something rational. Like that is that adult that's rational. It's usually something ridiculous. Like you see those like those memes or whatever. It's like my kid, I wouldn't let him put his hand in the socket. So he's now having a meltdown, you know, it's like funny stuff like that anyway. Yeah. That's like, this isn't even like you're ridiculous.
We went to dinner the other night and it was, I haven't been able to go out to eat with her for so long because every single time it's just like this absolute meltdown. She wants to get down. She wants to run around and talk to people and she can't do that. So I just pick her up and I'll take her out. And so this time, again, the guy I'm dating was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to let her cry it out. We're going to sit at the pool. Because she's got to learn how to do that. And otherwise we're never going to be able to go out to dinner like this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. So we sat there, she's just having her meltdown. He ends up we're out on the patio and he was just like, goes to the waitress. He's like, look, I'm just going to buy everybody on the patio a drink. Just let them know what's going on. And it was great because everybody was just like, you know, they're coming over. They're like, oh, you didn't have to do that. And we're like, yeah, okay. Like if had you, we not bought you the drink, you'd be like, get the hell out of here.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, remind me next time when you go out to eat, I'll make sure I'm on the patio. But
it was great because she eventually calmed down. And you know what? We've been out to eat two or more times after that. And Woo-hoo. She was much, much better. And so now she knows, you know.
Like, yeah, she'll get it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great story. All you moms out there, there's hope.
Yeah. Are his kids older or his kids, are they older than
8 and 4? So
he's been through it.
Exactly. That's where he was like, look, done this. We're just going to do it. This is going to be rough, but like, we're going to get through it. We're going to get some tequila. We're just going to like
be better on the other side.
Get through it. We're going to be better on the other side.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I have a story about when I like first learned how to dispel Eliza, but was it doesn't like when I tell it.
When was it? Like a couple months ago. Eliza's a good kid though. She doesn't really need, I feel like she doesn't need a lot.
No, she used to like, I just wanted to make sure that as a single mom at the time, I needed to be able to like operate at a high level all the time without having to worry about her melting down. And so, this is so terrible. I can't even, I'm probably going to get Child Protective Services called on me.
What's done is done. She's fine. Well,
we can edit it out if we need to. So
the first time she started having like little tantrums, you know, I feel like that's like God or whoever you want to say is in charge of us. It's like their way of testing what we need to do in order to kind of like figure out our parenting style. So I think kids start throwing these little tantrums because they want to see what they can get away with.
For sure.
And when Eliza started throwing little tantrums, I just knew that because I guess maybe like in sports and stuff, I knew the best way to get someone to kind of do what you wanted to do was almost to ignore them, ignore the bad behavior, or let them know that they would not get the attention they deserved from that bad behavior. So she would start to throw these little tantrums. And I knew that at the end of the day, like I was her source of happiness and she had to depend on me for sustenance and comfort and everything. So when she would throw a tantrum, she had a huge, let me say that she had a huge closet. When I say closet, I mean like it's the size of a room. So when I say a locked closet, please don't think that it's like a tiny, tiny boxed-in closet. There's even an AC unit in there. Okay. There's like a toy and everything. There's everything.
Okay. It's like a little bonus room.
But when I tell the story, my boyfriend Bert is always like, that sounds terrible. You cannot tell anyone that. You can't use that as now a testament to how they can help them.
This is a safe place.
Their kids. But what I did was every time she would freak out or start to be like whiny, I would just separate myself from her. And I would just say, nope, I'm not dealing with that. Nope. No.
That's how they tell you to discipline cats, by the way, if you Google it. I've done that with my cat. I locked him in the bathroom. Not a big bathroom, but he's a cat. punishing her like a cat.
So I would shut her in the closet, and then I would remove myself from the room altogether. So like I would put not one door, but two doors in between us because her room and then her closet. So she couldn't really hear me or feel me, but then she wasn't like really big enough to reach the door handle. So then she was just kind of stuck in there. And I wouldn't leave her in there long. It was like 5 minutes max.
Enough to scare her.
I like maybe it. Two and a half. I like it.
But then at some point, you know, like I could, sometimes I would leave a little video in there. So I'd see her and she would like be like screaming. And then she would look around. Like she would look around the room and be like, wait,
nobody cares.
What the fuck? Nobody cares what's happening. And then I would just let her chill out. And then eventually she would entertain herself with what was around her. It's in like, she's like, okay, cool, whatever. And then I would come back in and then she'd be like, ah, hey. And then everything would be cool.
So like from nothing that ever point, happened.
From that point forward, she's just been like the coolest kid ever. And I don't know if this will work for everyone, but for me personally, making her just like have to deal with her little demons herself worked wonders. And now she is like the coolest, funniest kid I've ever met. She just like can handle anything.
That's how Eliza got so cool. I get that now.
Yeah. You know, Tuli woke up at 5:30 in the morning the other day. And I was just like, normally I'd be like, oh God. Okay. And I was like, no, like we're not getting up at 5:30. Like this is not our life. This is not what we do. I went in there, I handed her the pass card and I'm like, I'll see you in an hour.
All the method, just, not the mood.
Yeah, shut the door. I could still like kind of hear, so it wasn't bad. But I'm like, I'm going back to sleep. Well, then I ended up sleeping till 7:15, and I wake up and I'm like, oh my God. So I go in there, and you know what she's doing? She's sitting there, she's playing, she's having a good time. She looks at me, she's like waving, like, hey, Mom,
what up, Mom? Like,
it is, you know, they have to learn how to regulate themselves. They really do.
Because if you're doing it for them all the time, if you're their source of comfort, they will continually need that comfort.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not a fan of. I never believed like when she was a baby, like letting her cry it out, it was too heartbreaking for me. But when she was able to start comprehending kind of what was going on at that point, I was like, okay, no, we're not doing this. But I'm not a fan of, you know, when they do need that nurture state. I think that if they were crying or whatever, that you need to be a source of comfort. And I'm not a parenting police. Again, that's what worked for me. I have no idea what could work for your kid, but mm-hmm. I do know that at some point they have to become reliant on themselves to kind of control their emotions.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, just like controlling your blood sugar, install. You know?
Yeah. This is why I have a cat. Cause you know what I do? I have a little air freshener that makes a shh noise that he doesn't like. All I have to do is reach for it and he stops doing whatever he's doing that I don't want him to do.
Damn.
That's control.
I know. I'm a good mom, guys.
you're like kind of like Hitler though.
No, I literally am like, I like reaching for it. Like, no, no. And he's like, he like yells at me and he stops. But yeah, it's fine. But I know we've kept you. I feel like every time we're going to ever talk to you, we're going to keep you as long as we can. But
I'm going to have you on again, though, because we talk way too much and you're a wealth of knowledge. There's just so many things. Next time, I swear, I'm zipping it up. I'm not telling all the stories and we're just going to let Megan
tell us. It'll be a monologue. Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to have you do your own podcast by yourself.
That's it. You guys aren't even going to show
it. People would probably love that, actually. That's a great idea.
Yeah. She'll take over our Instagram, go live.
I like this because you guys both have, I think we're all, it's a topic we're all interested in. We can all kind of bring our own experiences because there's not a one size fits all. Like that's a very important thing to know when it comes to health and nutrition and weight loss and weight and maintenance and feeling good every day. There is not a one size fits all. And that's a lot of what I preach on Instagram and inside my program is I can't give you like an absolute blueprint. There is what we give you are the tools to figure out how to learn your own body. And so, you know, I think that's why
just
I like
your kid.
We're all different.
It's all the same thing. Empowering whoever it is to figure out their own shit. Cause at the end of the day, that's all you can do.
Yeah. Well, also too, speaking of your program, definitely like tell us where people, you know, if you listen to the first one, you might know, but just remind people like where they can find you about, you know, your program, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So you can find me I'm always on Instagram at The Nutrition Addiction. And then my other handle is The Metabolism Makeover. And that's just our 30-day program. We have a 30-day program that goes then into a monthly program. And we focus primarily on weight loss and helping you to lose weight without decreasing your calories, but instead increasing your metabolism. So that is the main premise of the program. But it's not only about weight loss. It's also about letting go of food anxiety, you know, learning a lot about your body, improving your relationship with food. But doing those things ultimately results in, you know, whether it's weight loss, fat loss, body composition, whatever it is, we can help you reach those goals by first focusing on your relationship with food and learning your body and your metabolism. So we open up the doors to our program about 6 times a year. Next one is going to be May 3rd, and then we'll do middle of June. So those are the ones that are kind of coming up. I don't know when this is going to air, but yeah. And so if you just follow me, on either one of those, you'll know, and you can get on our wait list. There'll be a little link in the bio and just, reach out, message me. My account is more just, I'm like the club promoter, you know, I talk about
like, he's a good club promoter too.
Yeah.
The Metabolism Makeover page is great because it's all education. Like you get so much education and great value over there.
Yeah. That's where I've gotten like the recipes and stuff that I've used.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got to do both. You got to follow both.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool on the Metabolism Makeover and also your personal page. You do post a lot of before and afters and people I love a good before and after.
Yeah.
And it's a true testament to like what you're providing to people is that you see the results. You're not just talking about these things.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with companies that are first starting out. They have no before and after. I believe that as companies that are first starting out, you should believe in those companies as well. But with that being said, you have the results of your
lots of people,
your makeovers,
right
there in front of everybody. Like it speaks for itself. And I think that's a really cool thing is like what you're preaching actually works. These aren't just like happy thoughts, like, yes, you get to have more food and work out less and cool, whatever. That would be a fun thing, you know, whatever, but it actually works. So that's what's really cool about it is you do get to eat more and work out less. if you're doing it in a way that makes sense for you, so that you get to have your cake and you get to eat it too, and you get to be happy and free. And who doesn't want that?
Yeah. And the thing you got to realize too, is a lot of times when I'm posting these before and afters, I will write on there, like, this is after 8 months, this is after a year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when people are posting before and afters, it's like, okay, here's your 30-day results. And then you never know what happens to that person afterwards. Well, more than likely, if it was something that was extreme or whatever, they're going to end up gaining it back. But what I love the most is, you know, we always reach out to our people 6 months, 8 months, a year later and say, like, hey, how's it going? Like, send us pictures. We want to see you sustaining this and continuing to lose weight over time. So
that's really,
that's my favorite part. Yeah.
Yeah.
We love to see it. Love to see it.
Cool. I love to see it.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming back and talking to us. We always love it. You're welcome back anytime.
Anytime.
But you know, I'm going to have
to, when we say anytime, we have to have you back on, and we will talk less. I promise.
Like, you can just be our third co-host now.
Okay, cool.
But now we're going to have to give you permission. Tiffany's not going to even do it with me.
But then you said, yeah, permission to exit.
Bye. Permission to exit. Permission. You can enter back in anytime. Okay. Yeah. We came a long way. That's what the song said. And I could do all things. I could do all things. Yeah, I could do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. That's what the song said. And I could do all things. I could do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. I'm not afraid of the moment. I'm not afraid. I can't hold it. I gotta show up. Gotta get up in the morning. I gotta do it for Kobe. Lately I'm zoning. Lately I know where I'm going. Taking whatever control is. Show me opponents. Show me opponents. I got a gift and I'm starting to own it. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. And I can do all things. And I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. Shout to the city that raised me. Shout to the people that made me. I'm from the 80s. I don't think mumbling wavy. I grew up black on a Jay-Z. Maybe I'm crazy. I ain't been wondering lately. Feel like it's there for the taking. Feel like I'm good with the changes. Know who I am. And that's the most dangerous statement. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Man, I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. I check the scoreboard. Know what I'm good for. When I check the scoreboard, man, I'm thinking 2-4. Man, that's what I'm good for. Yeah, yeah. When I check the scoreboard, I know what I'm good for. When I check the scoreboard, man, I think I'm 2-4. And I know what I'm good for. Yeah, yeah. Cause we came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the song say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Man, I can do all things.